Today we're talking about a topic that comes up in churches a lot. It's a phrase that a lot of people hear and they think like, oh yeah, I know that, if they've been in church for very long. If you're not been at church for very long at all, this is perfect, because I'm actually trying to get us all to look at this phrase in a new way today, okay? So what we're talking about is being born again. And so when we think of birth, I think of this moment where this new little baby is there, mom is there, hopefully dad is there, and there's screaming and pain, but there's also this joy of new life. So that's what birth is. Today we're going to be talking about being born again. And when you hear that phrase, if you've been around church for very long, you probably think like, oh yeah, that's for the new people. I want to challenge you today, as we dive into this passage from Jesus, I want to challenge you that I don't fully understand the passage we're about to read. My parents sat me down when I was, I think, a third grader and said, like, Jake, you can read well enough now. Like, you need to start reading the Bible every night. And I started reading the Bible as a little kid. I've been reading the Bible since however old I was, 8, you know. And so that's 25 years. I don't fully understand the passage we're about to read. So I want to challenge you to not just come at it and say, like, oh, I know all this. I want us to pray right now and say, Jesus, come and teach us, because we don't know it all. We want new life in you, and we need your help to get there. So let's pray. Jesus, we don't know it all. Jesus, I'm here today. Each one of us is here today because we need you, Jesus. And so, Jesus, I pray you would come and teach us how to have a new life in you, how to live that out. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we got two chairs here. I need some guys to help me explain this concept today. First, we're going to read a passage of Scripture, then we're going to talk about it, okay? So we're going to be in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. If you'll read that with me. If you want to flip there, you can. We're going to talk about footnotes a little bit today. We're going to get a little brainy. But if you want to read the screen, I'll take you through it too. So we read it here. It says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. What does that all mean? Normally we read that and we're like, whoop, go on to the next verse. Well, Pharisee basically means this was a guy, a bunch of other guys around him. They were really respected in their day because they followed a lot of rules. Why did they follow the rules? They followed all these rules because they thought if we do everything just perfect, then God has to bless us. If I do all these things, then I can control God's blessing in my life. So that was their attitude. Some of us have that same attitude of like, I just got to get the right rules in my life and it'll all work out. Also says he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Government back then was really crazy. There's Rome on top and then some kings that Rome let do stuff. And then at the temple, there was this ruling council that had a lot of influence. They had their own guards and stuff like that. They could throw people in jail. The people that are on that council, it's just like people that are in power today, typically, there's money and power kind of go hand in hand. So if you had a ton of money, a lot of times you could get onto that council. If you were on that council, a lot of times you could get money as well. So he's a powerful guy. He's probably a rich guy. And he's respected in his day and age because he follows all these rules. He comes probably to Jesus as a person who thinks he knows a lot. Which, whether you follow a lot of rules and whether you have any money and whether you have any power, most of us can relate to the idea of thinking we know a lot. Okay, so there you go. That's the guy that's talking to Jesus today, somebody who thinks they know a lot. But he comes in a humble way. He puts his humble voice on when he comes to talk to Jesus. Some of us are good at that too. So he comes to Jesus at night. Why does he come at night? He comes at night because he wants Jesus, but he doesn't want to risk any more for Jesus than he has to. How many of there have tried to do that with Jesus? Of like, I want Jesus in my life, but I don't want to give up any more than I have to. Like, just show me the minimum that I could get Jesus in my life. That's where Nicodemus is at. That's his starting spot. If you're there today, it could be a starting spot. Jesus will start there with you. But he says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. So even though he's this big, powerful guy, he comes and says, Jesus, you're a teacher. He comes in a humble way, giving Jesus some credibility. Now, some of us think Oh, we're done at that point. If we can come and say, Jesus, you're a good teacher, then we're where we need to be. A lot of times if you go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to learn something from you, like we all just did in that prayer at the beginning, then Jesus is going to push you to grow. So if you prayed with me earlier today, then be ready, because just like he pushes Jesus to grow, I think he's going to want to push you to grow. If you're here today and you've already can say some good things about Jesus, he still wants to push you further, okay? So how does he push Nicodemus further? Verse 3, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." You can't even see what God's doing unless you have new life. This guy had a lot of religious rules. He had a lot of success in life. And Jesus says, even if you call me teacher, like that's not enough. If you don't get a new life, you can't even see what I'm about. So if you don't have a new life here today, that's your starting spot. But also, if you're walking through life and you think you're doing stuff without that new life, then you don't even have a clue what God's about. That little A, that little footnote there, says unless they're born again, or it could also say born from above, depending on how you translate it. But this idea of born from heaven or born from God. Nicodemus asks a question that if we had been there, we would have asked. He takes it literally. He says, how can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asks, surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. I'm assuming Nicodemus is rich, and I also just jump to this assumption in my imagination that he's fat, because that's just how my imagination works. Like, I don't know if that may or may not be true at all. So I just get this ironic picture in mind of, like, this fat guy saying, like, of course, I can't get back into my mom. I mean, no adult could get back into their mom and be born again. That's absurd. And that's what Nicodemus' head is still at. Like, he's not on the same wavelength as Jesus at all. Why is that? It's because he hasn't been born again. When you're walking through life, you might be around Jesus and totally missing it if you don't have a new life, if you don't have a new inside. So Jesus is going to push him a little further here on the same thing. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. So what does this mean? Born of water and Spirit. Some people think, oh, that means baptism, to be born of water, like Hope was just baptized. But here it says nobody can enter the kingdom of God. You can't be a part of God's kingdom unless you're born of water and Spirit. So maybe that, you know, the guy that's dying on the cross next to Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. The Romans didn't let that guy pull off the cross and get baptized first. I don't think it's talking about baptism. I was asking another Christian a couple days ago, what did they think this verse meant? And they said, I think born of water means like a physical birth. You know, water breaks when someone's born, and I think that's what it's talking about, which fits the next verse. Honestly, I don't know for sure. I told you guys I don't know what all this means. So there you go. Sorry, that's your pastor. There's the honest truth there. I do think what it's talking about, a piece that's true, so we got to be born of the Holy Spirit. We have to have new life through the Holy Spirit. So what does verse 6 say? It kind of says that same idea. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit, which either could be lowercase or uppercase, depending on how you translate it, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So if we want to have, this same guy I was talking to, he said if we want to have new life in God, it's got to come from God. It can't come from us. It takes God's grace to give it to us. Verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. I love this footnote. It's one of the reasons I put the footnotes on here today. So English, I don't know if you guys probably don't care much about English as a language, would be my guess, or like the linguistics of English. Something interesting, you've been driving English your whole life and you didn't even realize like you're missing something. You know, like there's a part of the car, like your rear back door is not even there and you didn't even realize it. It's because English as a language, like we have like he said, or I said, or you say, or they say. We don't have anything for you, a group of people, say something. Unless you're in the South and they'd be like, y'all said you're going to do this or something, you know, like, why do we have that y'all? It's because most languages have a plural you. We don't have that in English. Why does that matter? Why am I even talking about that today? Well, it's because here Jesus says that second you, that's a you all, except for it doesn't sound dumb because he's speaking Greek and they have a word for that, you know, but he says you all must be born again. So when we talk about being born again, normally we make it a very individual thing. I got to get right with Jesus, which you do individually have to get right with Jesus. Jesus is talking to one guy, trying to get him to get right. But he also says, like, you as a group, you got to be born again. As a group, we need new life in Jesus. A lot of us read the Bible as a single you. We were reading in Paul's letters, and he's talking, and we think, like, oh, I need to put on the armor of God. I need to do this or that. I need to do this thing. Most of the yous you're going to see in the New Testament are you all. We just don't realize that because we're not reading it the right way. Most of them are talking to us as a group. And if you're trying to do this thing in Christianity by yourself, then you're not doing it the way Jesus describes here. If you want new life in Jesus, you're going to have a hard time doing it just by yourself. You all must be born again. One of the reasons we're going to have three people talk here in a minute, because I don't have all the ideas on what this means. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. We're going to come back around to this verse at the very end of the sermon. But right now I want to point out that last footnote, that D. When Jesus is talking here, it doesn't translate super well kind of the poetry of his language. So when he uses the word spirit, spirit and wind are the same word in Greek, and sound and voice could be the same. So you could translate this differently, but when he talks, when he describes people born of the Spirit and he uses the wind, it sounds a lot cooler when he says it than when I say it. That's true of pretty much everything Jesus does, but like it sounds better originally, okay? So we're missing it a little bit. You got to kind of just roll with it of like, this sounded really cool when it came out of his mouth because he's playing with the words and their meaning, okay? We're going to break that verse down, but before we get there, I want to invite a couple other guys because I said I don't have all the answers myself, but we're in this thing together trying to figure out what does it mean to be born again. So I went camping with some of my friends this weekend, and we were talking about this passage a lot, and Marcus and Donnie were two of the guys there. So come on up, and we're going to hear a little bit from them. So we were talking about this passage a lot. Marcus, I want to start with you, man. We're going to jump right in it. So Marcus, man, what does it mean to be born again?
This thing's on this time. To be born again means that someone else has to die. So it's me making that choice to put myself aside to, not aside. So my friend Buck the other day, he explained in a meeting, he said that I had to fire old Buck because nothing that he was doing was right. So to me, that's like dying. Him dying that old life, and we have to be careful that we don't hire old Buck back. With me, I have to, you know, Marcus had to die, and I had to start feeding this new spirit that God put in me.
Right, so you got to let go of the old man, yeah. We're going to come back to Marcus about how do you do it? How do you feed the new person that God's put in you and not feed the old you? We're going to come back to that. But first, let's hear from Donnie. What does it mean to be born again?
Okay, so last night when you said that we were going to do this, I went home and spent some time listening to some of my old music and trying to reflect on the way I used, because I knew the person that I was in that music was completely different than who I am now. So I listened to it, and like over and over I would hear myself talking about how I was this old soul, I was like this miserable person, and I was like in my 20s and early 30s when I wrote this music, so it was like I had already given up on life pretty much as it was, and I was just kind of like had this the more I listened to it, the more I was like, man, that dude needs Jesus. Like, he really needs, he needs to be prayed for. And I wanted to pray for myself so bad. And so I can relate to that being as, like, I'm not that person anymore. So, and in order for me to remember that person, I have to actually, like, think real hard to go back. So, to me, I've been born again.
Awesome. Okay, so there's a big change, yeah. So, Donnie, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit, because the other day you were talking to us, and you were describing this hill that you were trying to get up when you were younger.
Right.
Talk us through that.
Okay, so, it really, I mean, so before I knew Jesus, I knew the devil, and the devil was all about, like, you know, going up hills and taking you to these peaks, and he would take me up, you know, he basically took me up to this point in my life and showed me this, like he was giving me all these things, like, yeah, this is what life's all about. And he was giving me, you know, just different material things and filling my hands up. And then with material stuff and that type of lifestyle comes an ego and a pride and, you know, things that, you know, you feel like, yeah, I deserve this. This is all me. And so my hands are full and I'm up on top of this hill and I'm looking around, la, la, la. And here comes the devil behind me, just kicks me right down this hill. So I'm falling down this hill, man, and it was like over a five-year period. I'm just falling down this hill, and I couldn't grab nothing to hold on because my hands were full of all this junk and all this stuff that I just wasn't willing to let go. And so the further I fell, man, and the more I held on to this stuff, when I hit the bottom, I'm just down there at the bottom of this hill, and I'm surrounded by all this stuff that I got, and I'm just, this is still all mine. And so then Jesus comes, and he grabs me, man, and he picks me up, and I don't know if you go and pick a baby up when they're playing with all their stuff, and you pick them up and pull them away from their toys. They're like, I want all that stuff. And so that's why I felt like I was still there trying to hold on to that stuff as I'm getting pulled away by Jesus. And the further he pulled me, the more I forgot. Like, I just got, it's like, all right, something new. And then, so now Jesus is taking me up this mountain. You know, the hill is nothing. I'm up, there's no limits to where he's taking me now. You know, I'm going up this whole other thing. And I don't even want to look back at that hill, man. The hill's gone.
Good stuff. So Donnie shared that with me and some other folks yesterday morning, and it's been running around in my head a lot since then. I love that image of he struggled so hard to get to the top of this little hill, but then when he was knocked off of it and tumbling down, I've seen that play out in people's lives. If they're tumbling down and a relationship they really care about goes south, but they keep holding on to this pride, or they keep holding on to this lust, they keep holding on to looking at junk they shouldn't be looking at, or snorting something, or whatever it is, they keep holding on to that. And so that relationship goes away. And they're falling, and they're reaching for stuff, but they're reaching with fists instead of with open hands. So they just keep tumbling down. And then they lose a job that they really wanted. And even though they're saying, like, oh, I lost that first thing, it was all that person's fault. Now those same things they're holding on to, now they lose something else they care about. And they're going further and further down this hill. And the problem is, most people don't clue in that they really have to open their hands up. They keep blaming gravity. They keep blaming whatever else. And they're holding. And they won't let go. And what Donnie said right there, like Donnie, Jesus felt like picked him up and pulled him out of it. Some people get to that bottom spot and they keep holding. And they're like, Jesus, I don't want to go. I'm staying right here in the bottom with my little bit of pride, my little bit of anger, saying it's everyone else's fault. Or my little bit of lust, like I'm going to chase after with my eyes, whatever, or whatever it is. They hold on to that junk. The thing that Donnie described yesterday, though, is like that hill that he wanted to get to the top of so bad, now that he's with walking with Jesus, Jesus is taking him so much higher, so many different things that are so much better than that little hill that he was trying to get on the top of. A lot of us sacrifice so much to get this just junk that Satan has for us. And if we would do it Jesus' way, we'd go to this place that's so much better than all that. But most of us won't do that. Most of us won't actually say, here's my stuff. We'll scream and wail and say we want to change as we fall down. We'll be grappling for stuff, but we're grappling with fists. So, Donnie, I also loved another thing you said yesterday. You said that, like, you didn't know where Jesus was trying to take you, so you didn't know you didn't know how to get there, so you just had to follow. Is that right?
Yeah, I just let him carry me. And the way that Jesus carried me was he kept putting all these influential people in my life. Like, I spent my whole life never looking up to any man, and then so I was getting like actual male role models put in my life that I just followed their direction, and I'm like, all right, I'll do what you say, because you obviously got, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and things are showing, and the fruits are coming, are being bared. So, like, especially Coach Bob, who ain't here, who would really make me feel comfortable up here, but.
Yeah. So, Donnie, push you a little bit. You want to throw out any specifics? What were some specific direction you got that you didn't want to do that you did?
Surrender was the first thing I was told. Just take your hands off everything. Like, let God, you know, let God do it. And pray before I enter every situation. So my prayer is before I enter anything now is, Lord, please don't let the old me have any influence on what's going on now. Like, with every situation I walk into, I ask God, please just don't let me have anything to do with it, because as long as that works out, and there's no chance for me to pop back up, and I can have a brand new impression on everything I do, and it's I walk as a new creation.
Awesome, man. I love that. Sorry, I could keep talking. I know we don't have a ton of time, but. I want to talk through a little bit of that. I followed because I didn't know how to get to where I was going. If you really want to go with Jesus, we don't know how to get there. That's like what Donnie's saying is a truth that a lot of us haven't accepted. You don't know how to become the woman or the man that God wants you to be. You don't know how to get there. And like before cell phones, when you're following somebody in a car and you don't know how to get to where you're going, you just have to do whatever they do. They go right, you go right. They go straight, you go straight. You just stay close to them. And Donnie had to find some godly people, put them in his life, find Jesus, put them in his life, and start just doing what they put in front of him. Because he didn't know how to get to where he wanted to be. It sounds really good on stage. A lot of people are like, yeah, I saw them go right, but left looks so good right now. Or I'm too lazy to go right. Or I'm too whatever. And so they don't wind up where Jesus wants to take them. Or they say, I need my cell phone. I need to know the next 17 steps with images, and I want to know the traffic, and I want to know everything. And it's just, you just got to do that first step. Don't plan out your marriage when you got 30 days clean, you know, or something. Like, just don't try to find Mrs. Wright. Like, because if she's Mrs. Wright today, she won't be Mrs. Wright for the rest of your life, you know. Like, it's like, just do the step that God has you on. So, Marcus, how do we feed that? How do we feed that new man instead of the old man?
Well, first of all, we got to turn away from all the sin that we were doing. You know, with me, it was like, God told me that I needed to stop drinking, drugging. And then it was, I need to quit sleeping with women. And then it just progressed into other things. And now it's the prideful things of my life, you know. So, like, as I keep saying yes to God and no to me, that new spirit keeps getting fed.
I remember sitting in a room with Marcus, and we're having a conversation about, yeah, he'd let the drugs go, but there was a next step, sleeping around with people. And I remember having that conversation. Unfortunately, that's a conversation I have a lot. A lot of people don't walk out of the room with the decision Marcus walked out of the room with. And then they wonder why they're not headed in the same direction that he's headed in. Like, those are not easy decisions to change who you're living with. Okay, like this is where the rubber hits the road and you make real changes in your life. You feed the new person by obeying what Jesus is putting in front of you. It wasn't all at once. Marcus did it step by step, okay? But he said yes at each step of the way. Marcus isn't perfect. None of us are perfect. But I mean, like, he said a lot of yeses along the way, though, to get to where he's at.
Yeah, so you remember that picture of that little baby that was up there? At the beginning, he's just kind of crying and screaming. Well, you know, I'd say that was me, like, right whenever I came to Jesus. And it was like, man, I didn't know how to take all the action that I needed to take. And I was just crying and screaming, like, man, I don't want to get rid of this. I don't want to get rid of that. And, you know, now I'm maybe a little 2.5-year-old toddler. You know what I'm saying? I'm still got a lot of work to be done. You know what I'm saying? But I do have some good days in between all that crying and screaming.
So, Donnie, man, if someone's here today and they want new life, what do they do?
Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Pray when it comes to anything that you do. always make him your cornerstone, like Jake says. Like, I look to Jesus for, I mean, I find a spiritual father, too, someone I could talk to whenever I have, like, I need, like, a voice in my ear. I talk to, there's a couple people I talk to, but find someone that you can rely on. Trust is a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to find. And it's definitely not something that you're going to find tomorrow, but find someone that you can trust. You watch them and see what they do. And if they do stuff that you feel like is the right thing to do, and if you follow them and it ends up being the right thing for you to do too, then just keep doing it.
It's good stuff, man. Okay, we got to wrap this up, but I give you guys permission to interrupt me if you want. If you got something good, okay? So this last verse, I told you we were going to come back to it. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. Most people that read the Bible a lot, they hear that and they start thinking about the Holy Spirit, and they think it's a description of the Holy Spirit. But read what Jesus says there. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So that stuff about the wind, it says if you have new life in Jesus, this should be a description of you. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from. Are there people around you that they don't know where you got what you got? They can't understand how you can forgive that way, or how you can love that way, or why you don't do all the junk that they do. If other people around you aren't asking any questions, if they can totally figure out where you get what you've got, then you're not meeting this description. What else does it say? It says you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. If you are having new life in Jesus, you're submitting, like Donnie was talking about, praying, Jesus, your way, not my way. Like Marcus was talking about, you're making those choices to feed the new you. Then no one with earthly wisdom can say where you're going to end up. If you look back a couple years of your life, could anyone have predicted where you would be today? If everyone could have predicted it, like, where's the Holy Spirit inside of you? Like, he should be taking you to places that no human could take you to. Think about, some of you guys knew Donnie back in the day. I just remember Donnie the first day he was here, the first Sunday. I remember overhearing a conversation about security, freaking out about Donnie's going to do something weird. And Donnie wasn't stable. You can't explain where Donnie got to without Jesus. Now, that's the first leg of the journey, that Donnie got off of drugs, that Donnie got hope to keep living, that Donnie started doing the right things, becoming the dad he should be, and a lot of other things. What God was showing me this weekend was that last one. You can't tell where it's going. If you would have, I met Donnie, knew him a little bit, you know, when he had 6 months here or something. I wasn't expecting Donnie to become this dispenser of God's wisdom like I heard from him yesterday morning.
Amen. He gave us this.
So, and again, it's not that Donnie is the focus here, but it's just saying, like, Donnie gave us this awesome image of that hill and the mountain. That's something that we can feed off of. You know, that's something connected with the truth that's right there in God's word. That came out of Donnie. It came out of Donnie for me to learn something from him. Like, that he had wisdom that I needed. That comes because the Holy Spirit took him there. No one could have predicted that a couple years ago. The challenge is for you, like, is God taking you to places that no one could predict? Are you on board with him that much? Is he putting things in you that you say, like, I can't even believe this is here? I like this analogy of the wind. Last little thought for you guys. I've got this itty-bitty car that when the wind blows, you can feel it because it's a tiny, light car. But a lot of cars are heavy, and when you're inside of them, you can't feel the wind. You could see the wind blowing and going crazy, but you can't feel it. And the last image I want to leave you with today is this lady that's gotten on top of her car on windy day. Some of us have been sitting in our lives. We've been sitting here at Maywood, and we've been seeing the wind blowing in people's lives. We've been seeing God do things in people's lives that's big. And we feel like we're a part of it because we can see it. And I want to challenge you, if you're comfy inside your little shell of a car, to get out of that shell. To say, like, I'm going to start obeying. I'm going to start praying, Jesus be greater, I want to be less. And I'm going to start taking direction. I'm going to start doing the things these guys talked about so I can have the new life. Don't kid yourself and say, like, oh, I was born again one moment 30 years ago, and that's all I need to do. New life in Jesus is something we get to live every day. You get to choose to be more like him every day. If you want that wind to be a descriptor of you, then you got to do it this way. You got to say, Jesus, I'll live for you. I'm going to follow you up the mountain. I'm done with the hill. Donnie, will you pray a blessing over us?
Lord Jesus, I love you so much, Lord. You are the most amazing God. And I love this church too, Lord. And I just ask that you bless this church and take each and every one of these individuals and fill them with your spirit, Lord, as they leave this building and just have them, carry them out into a great week, Lord. And that if any of them are having problems finding a solution, Lord, that you just give them that solution, that you become their cornerstone, Lord, that you become their answer, and that they turn to you first in any and every situation. And I ask you all these things in your precious Son, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.